throughout the course of her story, she's realizing, but I'd rather be me. Like, I would rather be myself. I would rather find people who will accept me for who I am versus me trying to just be accepted by everyone. I would rather authentically be myself.
That's Shannon Messenger, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Shannon Messenger is the New York Times and USA Today bestselling author of the award-winning middle grade series, Keeper of the Lost Cities. She joins us to talk about the graphic novel adaptation of the second half of the first book in the Keeper of the Lost Cities series. Shannon, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be back.
Well, before we talk about this specific graphic novel adaptation, for those who may not be familiar with the Keeper of the Lost Cities series, tell us about it.
So it's the story of Sophie Foster, who is 12 years old when we first meet her, and she is hiding the fact that she has this sort of superpower almost. She can read minds, and she thinks it's because she fell and hit her head when she was 5 years old. But then a boy shows up on her class field trip, and he has the first quiet mind she's ever encountered. And he tells her that he's been looking for her for 12 years, and that the reason she can read minds is because she's not human. And she is part of this secret world on our planet called the Lost Cities, which is kind of like Shangri-La and El Dorado and all those mythical cities. I decided I wanted to make those real, but then make them my own. And that is the world that Sophie belongs to. And she kind of has to start over and move there. And the more she gets there, the more she starts to wonder, okay, so why was I hidden away? And I won't spoil things for people, but I'll just say, you know, there's just kind of a giant conspiracy to destroy the world, and she just kind of has to save it. That's not asking a lot of a 12-year-old, is it? I think it's totally reasonable.
Makes sense. And then there's the series of novels, and then there has been an adaptation as a graphic novel. But it takes up so much more space to add all the pictures to it. So you had to divide this into two books. So you have out there the first half of the first novel in graphic novel form. And now we have the second half. So if someone's brand new to this whole series, should they pick up that first book first before jumping into this second adaptation?
I mean, ideally, yes, it's always better to start at the very beginning if you can. But we did actually add a section to the very beginning of part two that kind of, it's like, here's, I think we called it previously in Keeper of the Lost Cities, and it's like two or three pages of a quick summary, because we also knew there's been a delay because graphic novels take so long to make. And so even those who did read part one might need some refreshing of their memories. So technically, someone could pick it up and just read that summary page and then be able to dive right in and go on with Sophie's story. But it's much more fun if you get to live the first half of the adventure instead of just kind of skipping over it in summary, at least in my humble opinion.
Well, that first adaptation was your first experience with having one of your novels turned into a graphic novel. Let's talk a little bit about that experience and how that played into this second time around.
Yeah, I'm such a lucky author that I get to be involved in all of these stages. Not everyone does. Sometimes they just kind of are like, nah, we'll take it from here. But they really let me. They knew that this was kind of my author bucket list to have my work adapted into graphic novels. So it's been really fun. And I got to work with the artists and see sketches and weigh in. And one of the things that was really interesting was that when I worked with the person who adapted the novel, and one of the discussions we had was, you know, there's a lot of really key lines that readers just absolutely love. And I feel like we really need to make sure that if we're having people who are already read the prose book and coming into the graphic novel, that they're going to have those same lines. So she worked diligently to really piece together and pull those lines. And then when I saw them with the art, a lot of times that like a joke that worked super well in prose, it just didn't quite land the same way in the graphic novel. And I found myself going, okay, I know this is my line, but we have to rewrite it because it's not working here. And so I'm sure Selena, if she could go back, she would be like, I'm not going to spend all of my time doing this. Poor thing. I ended up rewriting a lot of the lines because it just, in this new format, they are different animals. And there were just different things that it was like, you know, this just isn't playing out the same way that it did on the written page as it is now in this, you know, visual page. And so we I did a lot of rewriting that I was not expecting to do.
So for fans who have already read the prose novels, will these books give them sort of new insights into these characters and the story?
I mean, I definitely think so. I think it definitely, each scene still, we worked really hard to make sure that each scene at the end, it still had that same feel as the scene in the prose book. You know, so if this is a moment where like Sophie and Dex are kind of feeling out their friendship and deciding to admit to each other that they think of each other as best friends, you know, that heart of that moment is still coming across. But maybe the things they say and the way it plays out and the embarrassment and awkwardness between them, that is a little bit different. So it's kind of like, you know, getting to it, it's still eating chocolate cake, but it might be chocolate cake that's just a little bit shaped differently and has a little bit of a different frosting decoration on it. So it's still very much the book you love, but you are going to experience it slightly differently. I imagine this is kind of what it's going to be like if we actually get the movie made, that it's the same thing. It's, you know, it's the same but different, because each format has its own strengths and weaknesses, and you got to play into all of them to really make it work.
For this book, remind us about where we are in the plot. You see, at the beginning, you kind of catch us up, but at the beginning of the second book, the second half of the novel, where is Sophie in her adventure? What's happening here?
So she's very much still trying to adapt to her new world. She has been granted admission to their prestigious academy, but it's only tentative. And she had just taken her midterms, but she has no idea if she passed. And some of them did not go well. And if she doesn't pass, then she's going to be kicked out of this academy. And she's living with these guardians that she's starting to form bonds with, but she can't tell, are they going to adopt her? Is this just a temporary arrangement? She's made some friends, but she's still just getting to know them. So she's still very much in this tentative stage. And as we go through this book, it's really her realizing, okay, I need to cement these things. Like, I need to figure out, is this my home? Am I staying at this school? Are these my friends? And then, you know, she's also the mysteries around her and the things that, you know, the forces around her are doing are starting to really ramp up. And so she is having to start making some bigger choices. This is definitely the much more action-packed, more intense half of the book. The first half is very, you know, just fun and whimsical and, you know, kind of a spectacle. And now we're really starting to get into the meat of the story and really get some intense moments as they were playing out on the page. I must admit, I found myself gasping as I was looking at it. I found myself crying in one scene. I was just like, man, this is a whole other experience.
There's a lot of themes going on here. Obviously, there's a lot of self-discovery going on for Sophie, figuring out who she is, how to operate her in her new environment, and discovering that she may have a greater purpose here. So what would you say are some of the other themes this book explores?
I think the biggest theme is the idea that authenticity is more valuable than acceptance. And I think that that's something that Sophie, I mean, honestly, I'll admit, I even sometimes still struggle with it. I think we all sort of have this natural desire sometimes to just kind of blend in and not have to be the different one and to just feel like, yep, we found our people. This is our place. We know who we are. We know. But usually you have to also have those moments where you're like, but this is me. This is who I am. And that's very much where Sophie's at, you know, growing up with humans, being so different, hiding so much. When she gets to the Lost Cities, she thinks, okay, I'm finally going to just fit in and I'm not going to be different. But she is very different. She was raised with humans. She has a completely different worldview. And she spends a lot of time sort of struggling with that idea of okay, so I'm never really going to belong. I'm always going to be a little bit different. And at first, she's sort of looking at that like a bad thing. But throughout the course of her story, she's realizing, but I'd rather be me. Like, I would rather be myself. I would rather find people who will accept me for who I am versus me trying to just be accepted by everyone. I would rather authentically be myself. And I think that's something that a lot of us kind of have to go on that journey and can relate to, especially in those middle school years where we're, you know, we've gone from elementary school into the much bigger world of middle school. We're trying to figure out who we're going to be once we get to high school and beyond. And it's a lot and trying to be ourselves through all of that and not let anything, you know, pigeonhole us or change us into being something that we think we need to be instead of being who we are.
Well, I'm talking with Shannon Messenger. This is Keeper of the Lost Cities, the graphic novel, part two. So it's the second half of this adaptation of the first novel. And one of the things that's changed with this second adaptation is that you have a new illustrator. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it really just came down to the fact that graphic novels are so labor intensive, especially these ones, because they are quite thick. And so we knew that if we wanted there to be not too ridiculously large of a gap between part one and part two, that the only way to do that would be that the artist working on book two would have to get started before the artist working on book one was finished, which obviously means there's no way it could be the same artist. And so I'll admit, when they first, you know, when we first were having those conversations, I had this quick moment of like, oh no, will that be weird if part one and part... But what's always been so cool about the series is that we've had dozens of different artists that have, you know, we did an illustrated annotated edition. We've got the cover art. We've done a lot of different promotional pieces and exclusive edition pieces. I've done some of my own drawings. We've, you know, and each time when I've ever worked with an illustrator, I always tell them, like, I'll give you some basic descriptions and stuff, but I want this to be your way of drawing. You know, I want this to be how you see these things. And so it's actually really cool that we get to see two different artists' interpretation of the same thing. And there's a lot of, you know, like, I feel like they, you, if you put them side by side, you wouldn't instantly look at it and go, wait a minute, I think this is two different artists. There's a coherence there, but there is also, like, each artist has their own strengths, has their own styles. In this second one, what's been one of the things that was just blew me away was this artist is extremely detail oriented, and she manages to squeeze so much into her panels, of which was perfect for the second half of the story when Sophie's doing these big scenes with lots of characters in these kind of complicated environments and stuff. She worked in so many details. I was almost like, what did she, like, have to zoom in on her tablet as she was drawing to, like, I seriously don't know how she fit so many details in, but it really makes this book pop in a way that is just perfect for this half of the story.
Well, this is the second book that's been created that's a graphic novel. What's the fan feedback been like for these?
I mean, honestly, I've heard nothing but good things, but I would hope that they wouldn't come right up to my face and tell me, I didn't like that. Although kids these days are pretty honest, but I've heard nothing but good things. I've heard a lot from educators that they love that, especially because the books are so thick, having a format that is a little bit more friendly to a kid that might be a little bit reluctant to just dive right into a super thick four, because book one is, I think, 480 something pages. So that's a hefty tome to just, you know, go and pick up. So to have this format for those kids that are a little bit more like, what do you have with pictures? And to kind of get them started on the story has been a really nice way of reaching a different readership. And that's been very, very fun and very cool.
Will we see more graphic adaptations in the future?
I hope so. I have not gotten started on any of that because I am very much in the trenches trying to write book 10. As far as I know, that's the plan. And the first adaptation hit the New York Times bestseller list and all of that. So all signs point to it is just kind of time management and making sure that I am focusing on all of the balls that I am juggling as an author.
Well, it's good to hear that book 10 is on the way. And you mentioned that someday you'd love to see a movie. Anything to share about that effort?
So Warner Brothers owns the rights, and they are in the process of working on, you know, bringing it to the screen. It would be several hundred million dollars to make it. So this is not a quick process. This is something that is being very tedious and very time consuming. But I know they have a script or a screenwriter that is working on a script right now. I haven't gotten to see it yet because it's still early stages. We got a little delayed right after we kind of closed with Warner Brothers, the writer's strike happened. So that kind of set things back a little bit, but we have regrouped, we have a writer on board, we are working on it, and everyone seems very, very passionate about doing everything in their power to make this movie happen. It's just, it's Hollywood and it's expensive. So we will cross our fingers and hope for the best.
The book is Keeper of the Lost Cities, the graphic novel, part two, by Shannon Messenger. Shannon, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.